myth number five goes along with myth number four, interestingly enough. It's kind of the opposite error. Unbaptized adults do not need to concern themselves about receiving baptism because a person can be saved just as well without baptism. Now, you were talking about the troubled sinner. I would take it that you would have some strong things to say concerning this myth.
Yeah, I mean, baptism, we can take such comfort in baptism. Why in the world would you not want that comfort? But the case is still worse than simply depriving yourself of some psychological comfort. St. Augustine had a good maxim. He said, it is not the lack of baptism, but contempt for it that damns. And what he was saying is based upon the words of Christ. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe shall be condemned. Not believing manifests itself, among other things, in contempt for baptism and for what God is giving us there. It's typical in cases like this to think about that penitent thief on the cross to Jesus' right, who, so far as we can tell, died unbaptized. But, of course, he had the promise from Christ himself, today you will be with me in paradise. There was no opportunity hanging on the cross for that man to be baptized. That's one thing. The person who, through no fault of his own, simply doesn't get in on baptism and is converted maybe at the very end of his life, and the opportunity just doesn't present itself for baptism. That's quite different from the person who knows exactly what God wants to give him in baptism, but in effect says, thanks, but no thanks. I really don't need it.
So it sounds as though baptized adults need to concern themselves with baptism.
Yeah, not just the unbaptized adults. Baptized adults need to be thinking about their baptism. And that's hard for us, I think. We tend to reflect upon our baptism as something that happened long ago. If we were baptized as infants, we don't remember the event. But even if we recognize the significance of the thing that happened at that time, that it was the sort of gateway into the Christian faith and life for us, we still tend to think of it as something sort of remote, off in our past. What we need to realize is that we never progress so far in the Christian life that we get away from the gate, the entry point. We need this frontier sacrament, as it were, every day of our lives. And there are so many ways that we can remember our baptism. The phrase at the beginning of the church service, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, is not a complete sentence. It's just a prepositional phrase, and that's deliberate, because the complete sentence is, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Whenever we hear those words at the beginning of church or say them in our own devotions, we can be reminded of our baptism. And, of course, we are daily, like Romans 6 says, returning to baptism in contrition and repentance.
So it sounds as though baptism is really an integral, a key element in New Testament spirituality. With the minute left to us, summarize in that manner.
Well, I'll just point you to two passages. One is in Galatians 3. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now think about the way the New Testament and the Old, for that matter, talk about being clothed with the righteousness of Christ. That's what Christ is putting on us in baptism, individually. And that passage, I think, although it speaks in the plural, has a real individual point. The one that speaks collectively is the one that you mentioned a while ago, Todd, from Ephesians 5. Christ loved not just Todd, not just Ken. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Christ's death was the payment for the sin of the world, but he brings that to his church, that cleansing by the washing of water through the word. And it is like Luther said, in baptism, every Christian has enough to study and contemplate all through life.